Ever had a mess that you've made that you're like, I just want to leave it, like just say condemned and then go? That's how I was feeling. Let's just sell the house. But sometimes you'll make a mess and you just want to walk away from it. But perhaps every once in a while, you'll encounter a friend, a family member, somebody that you know, kind of in the ebb and flow of life, and they've made a mess, or they're making a mess of their situation or their life, right? You might look at some of the decisions that they're making, and it's just, you know, it's just so messy. And the tendency, what we may have inside each of us, is to just kind of walk the other way. Like, just turn, pretend like we don't see it. Like, as soon as the text comes up, it's like, I don't have a red report, so they're not going to know that I read it. Or maybe it's the caller ID comes up on our phone. We're like, I know what this is going to be about. And you know that that person has probably done it again. They're in a mess, and they need help, and it's going to get messy if you're involved. And you might just be tired, right? Maybe you're saying, you know, when is this person ever going to learn, right? Maybe you're thinking those kinds of things, or whatever it is that we say to ourselves. How do we deal with those kinds of situations where it's tough, right? There's an impulse that wants to help, but there's also an impulse that says, I'm tired, I don't got the resources for this, I don't got the energy. How do we deal with those kinds of situations? Jesus, we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. This is our second week of a short mini series talking about revolution resolution. And if you're just joining us for the first time this morning, you can go back and listen to last week. We're really talking about what it is that God has started in us and that God is calling out of us, cultivating in us and calling out of us a love, practical love that makes a difference in our lives and makes a difference in people's lives. And if you're visiting or you missed last week, you can go back and catch it online. There's also some questions that might help you, talking you through a little bit of the Bible stuff, or if you're in the habit of meeting with other people and talking about it, it's great there. It's for you. But this is kind of week two of that. We're going to talk a little bit about how do we help people? Where are the boundaries? Are there boundaries? What are the things that cause us to be hesitant? Jesus addresses those kinds of questions specifically. And one day, he's having a conversation / debate with a religious leader. And there's probably a couple of dozen people who are listening in. And this there's a question that this religious leader asks. He says, what do I need to do? Like, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Right? It's a really great question. What do I need to do? I want to know. What do I need to do? And it's a great question. And as they're having the conversation, Jesus says to him, what does the scripture say? What does the Torah, what does the Old Covenant, the Old Testament say about that? And then how do you interpret it? How do you see it? And the religious leader quotes back to Jesus this appropriate scripture from the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And then he adds this Old Testament scripture that are the famous words, right? We've probably heard it before. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says to him, that's it. You got it. Go and do that. And as Jesus is turning to leave the religious leader, or leave the kind of conversation, the leader, we're told, looking for a loophole, wanting to justify himself a little bit more, asks, and who is my neighbor? Who's this neighbor that I am obligated to love, right? Which neighbor? Which one? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus does what Jesus did. He tells a story, probably the most famous story that he ever told. And regardless of where you are in terms of religion or Jesus or whatever faith background that you might come from, you've probably heard this story, and it's really applicable to all of us. And here's the story that Jesus told. You probably know the one that I'm going to tell you. We're going to get a little help from Lego this morning. Here's the story that Jesus told. It's found in Luke chapter 10. If you have a Bible, you can open it up, or you can follow along on the screen. If you have the Bible app, you can use that as well. Here's the story Jesus tells. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. Now, this stretch of road was famous for that. It was commonplace. It was a dangerous stretch of road. It was a road that people took to kind of shortcut going the long way around. And so on this way, this man is heading from Jerusalem to Jericho, two different cities, and he's attacked by robbers. And they strip him of his clothes, because obviously they wanted everything that was valuable. They beat him, and then they went away, leaving him half dead. Is this story sounding somewhat familiar to some of us? Just nod your heads if you're kind of like, yeah, okay, don't let the Lego fool you. I think I might have had this Lego set, actually. And here's the next part. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite. Now, if the priest is kind of in charge at the temple, then a Levite is kind of like an executive assistant. A Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Now, when we read the part about them seeing the man, seeing his need, and passing by on the other side, we probably have certain emotions. Like, how could they do that? Like, who would do that? If you saw a need, why would you cross the other way? Well, there's probably lots of different reasons. Some of us, I can come up with some reasons. The people listening to this story probably would have not reacted with the same emotion that perhaps you might be reacting this morning. Those listening might actually have applauded the decision that these two men made. They did technically what they were supposed to do. They had responsibilities at the temple, and they would have been probably rendered unclean. It said the man was half dead, and if you touch a dead thing, if you're a priest or a Levite, then you would be rendered unclean. You would not be able to go to the temple and do your job. So people listening are like, yeah, okay, it's normal, that's fine. We look at it and go, how could you ignore that? They went to the other side of the road. Maybe they're like, you know what? I don't want to end up being like him. So I'm going to, you know, kind of save my own butt and just keep going. There's lots of different reasons. Maybe they said to themselves, listen, that guy got what was coming to him. He should have known this is not the road that you go on, forgetting that they're on the same road, but, you know, thinking, well, that guy must have done something wrong, and he's, you know, paying the price for that. That'll teach him about taking, you know, shortcuts. And probably at that moment, Jesus, who knows what people are thinking, maybe he had that kind of gentle smile that Jesus probably had from time to time when he knows that he's going to zing them. And he said, but a Samaritan, and I wonder if he paused there for dramatic effect, right? Because most of the audience is thinking, oh, now the Samaritan, there's no way that guy's going to stop and help because, you know, this man is an injured Jew, and Jews and Samaritans, they have a long history of not getting involved. So they're probably thinking, oh, absolutely, that guy's going to quicken his pace. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, to the same place that the priest and the Levite had done. And Jesus says, when he saw him, he took pity on him, then went to him. So it sounds like he's on the other side of the road already, and he sees him, and he actually moves towards the man, towards where the man is. And it says he bandaged his wounds. He cared for him. He poured on oil and wine. Then he puts the man on his donkey. I know you're looking at thinking at that. What was that Lego thing? It looked like a Tyrannosaurus. No, it was a donkey, a Lego donkey. He put him on his donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him at the inn. And if that's not enough, it says the next day he took out 2 denarii, which was the equivalent of 2 days of pay for the average worker, gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him. And when I come back, when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that I might have, right? In other words, this is not just a one time. I'm coming back and I'm going to check on this stranger and seize, you know, just to make sure that, you know, he's been cared for. And then Jesus, finishing his story, turns to the audience and he says, are you not entertained? I'm just kidding. That's Gladiator. Just wanted to make sure you're paying attention. He says, he asks the leader, the religious leader, and really he asks everybody, right, including us, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Now notice, Jesus changed the question. It was no longer who is my neighbor, but who acted like a neighbor. Everybody then, just as probably everybody here knows the answer to that question. And the religious leader replies, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus says, exactly, go and do the same thing. Remember the original question? How do I get eternal life? What does the scripture say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? Jesus says, it's not who is your neighbor, but who acts like a neighbor. Go and do that. If you want to inherit eternal life, you want to do the things that honor God, go and do the same thing. And isn't there something in all of us that we agree with that? We know that we ought to go and do likewise. When we see someone in need, we get the text, we get the phone call, we get the email, and it's a need that we can help with. It's a messy situation, though, and maybe people have brought it on themselves, maybe for the 10th time, but there is something in us, and it's a good impulse that says, move towards that need and help. But it's hard, right? It's hard. It's hard to figure out who and when and where and how am I going to find the time and what about the resources and, you know, do I really need to get involved? I was watching a TV show the other night where these two men are having something to eat at a restaurant, and the one man sees another man starting to choke. And they both look. One of the men's a doctor. They both look, and the one man looks at the doctor thinking, like, this is your bit we've been trained for, and the doctor doesn't do anything, and the guy gets up and goes and performs the Heimlich and goes and sits down, and it's interesting. The rest of the show is kind of like why the doctor felt he was assessing the situation and didn't need to go and do anything about it. It was hard, and the doctor made some really, really good points, right? I'm probably, to be honest, I'm probably closer to the doctor. Like, is this really what's happening? Is this really a need? But it's hard, right? Go and do likewise. Last week, we talked about Paul's prayer for us, for the Philippian church, and for us as the followers of Jesus. And he said, this is my prayer for you as a group of people following in the way of Jesus, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that your love would abound more and more. It would get bigger and better. It would just grow. And so that you may be able to discern what is best, not just what we can get by with, but what is best, and so that you may be pure and blameless on the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, right? The things that go with doing what honors God to the glory and praise of God. And Jesus is the leader of Nashville Road Community Church. We have elders and we have deacons who lead and serve, but Jesus is really the lead pastor of Nashville Road Community Church. And he is leading us. We're going to talk about this in the next couple of weeks as we enter into a new series. But Jesus is leading us as a community, as a church family, towards the needs of others. That's where he's leading us. We know it's messy. We know that we're messy, right? But we believe that the posture that Jesus calls us to is to serve. We are a family of missionary servants to one another and to our neighborhoods, to our workplaces, to our schools. And this morning, I just want to take a few moments to help us sort through some of the practicalities, some of the things that cause us to be hesitant about being a neighbor and sorting through those complexities of going and doing likewise, living out the love of God. How do we know? How do we discern? How do we move? You know, what are the things that are roadblocks to us that we need to kind of move past if we're going to go and do likewise? I'm just going to grab a swig of water. This is Bo that did this, just so you know. I was out shoveling my driveway. I do not miss the snow anymore. What are the areas in us that we need to look at, that we need to individually look at and address, that make us hesitant to return that call, to respond to that text, or to say the words, what can I do to help? When we know that the answer is going to take up our time, it's going to get messy, what is it in us that hesitates because we know that we ought to or we want to go and do likewise, but we don't? Well, there's three areas, three C's that I think we're going to need to consider if we're going to be people who go and do likewise, who lead where Jesus is following, who go and are good neighbors. First thing is we need to look at this whole area of convenience. Moving towards the needs, from wherever we may be to wherever the needs are is not very convenient. Let's be honest. It's not convenient, right? I think I read somewhere just a little while ago, that North America is the busiest culture in the history of the planet. Being busy and working a lot or you know, lots of movement, it's so commonplace that most of us just have adopted it without, you know, really thinking. And in fact, here's how we know. And I just, don't put your hand up, but think about this. When somebody asks you how you're doing, how often do we reply with, busy? I'm busy. How often does that come up? You know, I'm fine, but I'm busy. Or I'm doing all right, but I'm busy, right? It's when you think about this too, in North America, the only addiction that we applaud is workaholism, right? It's the only one that, you know, we kind of put a positive spin on that and say, oh yeah, you know, you're busy, it's because you're doing good, and it's a whole thing. And there's nothing wrong with being busy necessarily, but there is a point when we become too busy that we don't have room for the needs of other people, right? In fact, here's what can often happen, and I'm just being completely transparent here. When a messy person shows up in our lives, it can often be irritating a little bit, right? I've thought these things like, man, this is just not a good day for your, you know, it's not a good day for your need in my life, right? Like, almost, like I have this perfectly orchestrated life that has all these dominoes that have been, you know, I've worked on setting them all up for today. And if I take out this domino, then none of them are going to fall down. It's just bad, right? In other words, I don't have time, right? The priest and the Levite, they were busy people. And it wasn't like they were going to do something that wasn't important. They were going to serve others in the temple, most likely. They just didn't have any capacity in those moments to move towards any more needs. So we're going to have to look, if we're going to move towards where we are, to where the need is, we're going to have to look at the convenience, right? And here's the gut check question. Are messy people, do we see messy people, messes in people's lives, as inconveniences or opportunities? It's a gut check question. I asked myself that question a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, man, yeah, they're opportunities, but boy, do I see them as being inconvenient time. We are too busy when these people and their needs, whatever it may be, are inconveniences rather than opportunities to live out God's love. Okay, so we have to look at convenience. Secondly, comfort. Moving towards the needs put that Samaritan in a very uncomfortable situation. Moving towards needs is not comfortable. I mean, we love comfort. I love comfort. I mean, we actually work towards taking rests, right? We work towards being comfortable. And again, it's not a particularly bad thing. Comfort zones are great places to recuperate. They are. But they're not great places to live, because nothing much happens in our comfort zones, right? And if we spend too much time in our comfort zones, it gets boring, right? It really does. And I wanted to show you a picture of what boring looks like. That's what boring looks like. I know what some of you are like, what exactly is that? That's a stagnant pond. It's not going anywhere. And so it just sits there and it looks gross. No one's swimming in that, right? And ponds become stagnant for one reason. The water never changes. It doesn't flow. Whether it's rainwater filled or whatever, it just doesn't have a place to get out. It doesn't move anywhere. And it lacks that exchange of fresh water that keeps the environment healthy and alive, right? Water might come in and fill the pond during the rain or snow, but there's no outlet, right, to let that water go. And the only way, really, that water, that pond, loses water is through evaporation. And that actually just makes the situation even worse. A pond, though, that flows into a river or a tributary doesn't stagnate because it's moving, right? And here's the truth, I believe. We will never be the best version of who I believe God is calling us to be by staying inside of our comfort zones. We just won't. When we step out of our comfort zone towards the needs around us, where God is in the midst and is using the chaos of those uncomfortable circumstances in other people's lives. He will use those to mold and shape us. And that's where we're really going to grow. Come back to your comfort zone to recuperate, and then keep moving towards needs. And here's another truth, I believe. If we insist on being comfortable, then boredom is inevitable. If we insist on comfortable, boredom is inevitable. Faith in Jesus gets boring when we retreat to just kind of a weekly going to a church gathering, right? Staying in our comfort zone, right? We retreat, we create like a bubble around us, right? Where everybody's thinking the same thing, saying the same thing, and it's a manageable, convenient, comfortable situation. Following Jesus gets boring when we do that. Living out our identity as a family of missionary servants, that's our identity, that's the cure for the boring Christian life. God loves us, and he desires what any good parent does, for us to grow and mature. And we will not, I can promise you this, we will not get bored when our faith is moving towards the needs of others. That's how we engage and practice the oneness that Jesus has paid for, the oneness of reconciliation that Jesus made reality through his death and resurrection. And so as Jesus' people, people following in the way of Jesus, when we believe this, when we are confronted with the messiness of life and the culture around us, we will not retreat. We're not going to do that. We're not going to create a place that we can just come to and just be comfortable and then kind of sneak back into our, you know, kind of comfort zones elsewhere. No, that's not what the church is. Jesus said the church is an ecclesia. It's a gathering, but not a gathering kind of huddled. It's a gathering to make a difference. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's not a group of people huddling over here, and the gates of hell are lobbing stuff. That's a group of people saying, we're going. The gates of hell aren't going to stop us. That's powerful. That's who Jesus has called us to, moving towards the needs of other people. We're not going to retreat. That's not our posture, not to retreat and create spiritual or, you know, religious bubble to avoid, you know, situations that are uncomfortable or inconvenient, right? But we'll be vigilant, and we are vigilant about listening and responding to the needs. And we have done that, and we'll continue to do that as a body. We move towards the needs. Finally, it's this area of control, right? We love to be in control. And when we're moving towards the needs of others, it certainly feels chaotic, right? That we are not in control. I love to be able to fix things. When there's a problem, that's, you know, talk to my wife. She'll tell me, you know, this is what happened at work today. And I'll be like, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. That is not helpful. It's not proven to be very helpful. I'm learning, right? I want to help, right? I want to fix something. It's, from my perspective, it's always simpler than it actually is. But when we move into and towards the needs of others, we realize we can't control the situation. We can't control them. And we can't just kind of put them in our timeline and say, okay, this is what needs to happen. Here's the thing. God doesn't want us or need us to fix or control others. He will lead us to be with others and love them by walking alongside of them. People are not projects, right? It's so easy to see that. I'm often wired to embrace problems and, you know, to try and fix them as quickly as possible. And when I encounter a messy situation and I can't see a resolution, I start to shut down. I'm like, you know what? I just don't know what to do. But the goal is not to fix or repair a mess, but to love people in the midst of us, in the midst of that mess. And for many, many of us, I think that we're wired up that way to fix. And we need to remember that God is doing a work, and he will be faithful to complete that work in us and in others. And you might not have a specific solution to that person's needs. It may come from someone else, but you might be instrumental in providing that instantaneous, maybe it's first aid, whatever that aid may look like, to respond and say, you're not alone. You're not alone in this. I'm here. And we're going to work towards bringing other people on board to help, whatever that, you know, mess may be. But we get to be with people Notice I said we get to, not we have to. It's a privilege to get to be with people in the midst of their needs. And when we realize that, I believe the pressure just subsides, right? When we can just be with someone, to be available, that's where God is leading. He's going to do the work, right? He's begun a good work in them, and he will carry it unto completion. So when we move towards the needs, we recognize that we're going to be out of control. It's going to be out of our control, but it's not out of God's control. And if we're willing to move towards the needs of others, truth is people are going to be helped, right? They're going to experience that oneness as well that Jesus came to bring. That's so beautiful and wonderful that we're not in isolation anymore. They get to experience that oneness. And if we also, if we're moving towards the needs in people's lives, God is going to be honored because people are going to see that God is compassionate, not distant, but near. We're also going to move from boredom to engagement, right? And for a long time, I thought the opposite of boredom was entertainment. And I don't think that's true. I mean, entertainment is fun. I mean, it really, really is. But it doesn't last for very long. I think the real solution to if we're experiencing a boredom or a boring Christian faith, it's to be engaged, right? The Christians that I've met, many of you here, who are most excited about their faith are those who are engaged with God's activity in the world. And the opportunity that we have is the opportunity for engagement. There really is nothing more richer or satisfying than to walk with God and engage with him in what he's doing in the world. Really, think about what a great catalyst that is for getting up in the morning. God is up to something, and we get to participate with him in helping others see him, but to meet needs. And this is an invitation, really, for everybody. If you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not a Christian, and you engage and help people, that's a win, right? Pretty much every worldview, every philosophy puts a high value on helping other people. And again, if it was just that, that would be a great win. But there's also this second cool opportunity if you're not a follower of Jesus, and that's that you kind of get to test drive a little bit about what it actually means to follow Jesus. You can start moving towards the needs in people's lives around you. You're probably already doing that, but that's where Jesus calls us. It's to help meet the needs of others, not trying to fix people, but to be there with them. And I think that will actually give you a very accurate experience about what it's like to follow Jesus, because that's a lot of where Jesus is leading us. If I think about our needs here as part of the family at Nashville Road just for a second, there are lots of needs happening. And I'm not going to rhyme off a bunch of needs that help us run this particular gathering. There's lots of those, and we have lots of people who are helping. We could always use more. There are shepherding needs within our community, helping care for others, and helping them feel connected. Our youth, right now, Jenny and I and Zach are kind of helping to organize the youth, but we need more help. So there's, in the area of mentoring and coming alongside young people, we have great need in the area of children and nursery. We'd love to reopen our nursery at some point to be able to provide that. When we think about going, you know, where the future goes, we're looking at how we can, you know, kind of not divide up, but organize in such a way that if you're a part of Nashville Road Community Church in some way, you know somebody is shepherding you. It's not just, you know, oh, I think there's people on the website. Is it Dean? I'm not sure who it is, but that you would know who kind of your area shepherd is. And we're thinking about setting up like communities where you would be known and cared and shepherded for by, you know, it'd be a smaller group. And we're looking for people who might have a passion for that. Last week, we talked about this opportunity that we have with Remember Ministries, in particular, helping to resettle from Afghanistan Zubair and Mansour, who right now, their student visas are going to come due, and they're going to be finished, and they're going to be sent back. Right now, they're in Turkey. They're going to be sent back to Afghanistan. That would not be a great situation for them at all. And some of you picked up the prayer sheet for them last week. What we're looking to do is form a small team that would be a settlement team, a core settlement team that would help us as a church take the lead in helping to bring them and then get them settled here, either in Bolton or in Brampton or someplace, you know, relatively close. We're partnering with Remember Ministries and another ministry in Toronto, and we're just looking for a group of people, small group of people, that would say, you know what, I would like to move towards that need. I think I've got some things I can do to help. If I have nothing in terms of expertise, I've got availability. And if you're interested in that, then there's a little sheet like this. It just says right on it, Refugee Sponsorship 2024 Core Settlement Team Information. It's just at the back, and on the back it has the prayer info for Zubair and Mansour. But inside it kind of has a breakdown of what we're looking for in terms of the core team. A little bit of a description. Don't be overwhelmed by it, but if you're interested, if you've been praying last week and this morning, this might seem like a logical next step to move towards that need, then I would just encourage you to just pick up one of these forms. And if you do, if you just help us, if you pick up one of these forms this morning, just put your name and contact information, because we would just like to follow up and say, what do you think God might be saying? Not to say, hey, you're in. It's not an automatic. If you pick up one, you're on the team. It's just one step at a time, right? So in closing, the question is, where do we start or where do we continue, right? Some of you might already be feeling that hesitancy, like, oh boy. As soon as you get down into something concrete, it's like, oh man, those same feelings of resource, time, how do I deal with this? What can I do? There's a couple things I want to be able to say. First of all, it's moving towards a need, not every need. That's really, really important, right? There are certain personalities, and I think I'm probably one of them, that want to solve every problem, want to meet every need. And that's just not wise. For this really to be effective, for us to be effective in living out the love of God, it's a, not every. It's a need, moving towards a need, not every need. If you try to do too much, you recognize it zaps your energy, you burn out, and it starts to make a mess in your own life and in the life of your families. Here's the key. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone, right? Try to go a little deeper with a few, and don't feel guilty about the rest, right? Guilt is not a good motivator. It doesn't last, right? No one ever really followed after Jesus because they felt guilty. They followed because they wanted to. They were motivated. So don't feel guilty about all the needs that you can't move towards. God is not asking us to change the world, right? He doesn't need us to change the world. That's his job. If he needed our help to change the world, he wouldn't be the almighty creator. He just wouldn't be. He would be a figment of our own imagination. God doesn't need us. He calls us. It says, if you're going to follow me, this is where we're going. We're going to meet the needs in the world. And as often as not, I'm going to take one more swig. I'm almost done. As often as not, the people that God brings into our life are your neighbors, your coworkers, right? People that you go to school with. And so my encouragement this morning is just look. Just look around. Maybe there's something here this morning. You said, yeah, I've been praying for something. I've been praying for these two young guys. I'm going to be involved. But just look around. Think about your circle of relationships. There are people out there who are struggling, and they're in your life already. Ask. Knock on a door. Open it. Pray. Ask God to show you, to slow you down maybe, to show you what's really happening in your world. Right? Listen to what people are talking about. Some of us might be thinking, yeah, I can do that, but I got to get my act together first, right? You don't. Here's the beautiful thing about God and his mercy and his grace. God uses messy people because we're all messy, right? If he didn't use messy people to help messy people, nobody would get loved because he's only got messy people to work with, right? It will be inconvenient. It will be. I guarantee you, moving towards the needs will be inconvenient. Go anyways. It's going to be uncomfortable, move you out of your comfort zone. I guarantee it, but go anyways. You're not going to always be in control, right? That's okay. God is in control. And I think about this. What would it look like if each of us in some way said, for 2024, my resolution is to let my love abound and move towards the needs rather than passing by? What would it look like if we said, I'm going to make time? I think it would be a game changer, not just for us, for others around us. This is what God has been doing and is doing in the world. He's moving towards the needs. Christmas is a celebration of God moving towards the needs. God loved us so much, he gave us his son that nobody would perish, but all would get eternal life, right? That's his MO, always has been, always will be, and he's going to continue to work through us to meet those needs around us. And as we were challenged last week, I don't know if any of you have taken this up, just to include this little phrase inside your prayers. I'm going to pray it this morning too. But God is faithful to continue the work that he started in us. And so would we pray again, when we're praying about needs, we're praying about these particular needs with Remember Ministries. Father, Heavenly Father, please complete the work that you started in me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because you love us. We know first and foremost that your motivation towards us is not to get us to do anything. It's to receive your grace, your mercy, and your love. And that the motivation for moving towards others' needs is what you've already done, and loving others the way that you have loved us, by sacrificing. Father, thank you for the beauty of churches across the world that are making a difference in their communities and in followers of Jesus making a difference in their homes by learning to love sacrificially. Father, we want to continue to be a church, a gathering of the people following in your way who count the costs. We look at the convenience. We look at the comfort. We look at the control that we want to have, and we will give that up in order to go where it is that you have shown us there's a need. And Father, I do pray that you would also give us wisdom, restrain us if our motivation is not to love, but it's to get something. It's to get something back. We know you are gracious and you give as we give. But Lord, just guide us. Help us first and foremost to open our eyes and to see and to let go of the things that we thought were so much more important, that we would go across the street where there's a need, whatever that need may be. Father, just help us to take the labels off so that we can see things clearly the way you see it. And Lord, would you continue to complete the work that you started in us? In Jesus' name.